As we go back to Proverbs 3, again in our series called My Son, we're looking at about 12 different places in the early chapters of Proverbs where Solomon addresses, probably no doubt his son, Rehoboam, but in a very real way, God addresses us all as his children and tells us to be certain ways. So I've titled these all Be Something, and today's is Be Thoughtful. Primarily from the first phrase, forget not my law and other things. Be thoughtful. I mean by that, be full of thought. Since thoughtful is full of thought, I don't want us to be thought empty. And we need to be rather full of thinking of these kinds of things. And you'll see in our outline that in three ways, I think this passage shows being thoughtful about God's Word as the passage opens that way. Being thoughtful about God's testimony, our testimony for God, and being thoughtful about God's will, as in all thy ways acknowledge him and he directs our paths. You know, David's heart was great, and I thought about this that, you know, in Psalm 119, the longest we call chapter, psalm of the Bible, 176 verses. And in all of those verses, David says something about God's word, but he also reveals to us a number of trials that he went through. And as he did not forget to turn to God in these trials. Listen, for example, to a few in Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Not 83. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. 141. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. And 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. And the last one, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So in all of David's trials, he also never forgot his Lord, never forgot what God could do for him. But I find out we forget a lot. We're just like that. Things pass out of our mind. It's not merely from a lack of being able to memorize. You know, I can't remember things or I can't memorize. That could be part of it because we are told that we should hide God's word in our heart in Psalm 119, right? That we would not sin. And when we memorize God's word, those words do stick to us. And maybe even if you're not good at memorizing, put a few verses in there anyway. You know John 3:16. If you can do John 3:16, you can do other verses too. They just need to be familiar so that those come back to your mind. But you know, I thought there's a lot of reasons why we forget these kinds of things in times that we should remember. You know, sometimes just too much time goes by, and we haven't been involved in the things of God. After all, if you didn't attend church for months or a year or more or years. Think of the things that would pass out of your mind, how you would begin to forget God's words and his precepts and his teachings and his laws. We need to be under that sound of teaching and of the gospel, don't we? If you go days, weeks maybe, and maybe more without personal devotion before the Lord, and think of all of the words and the things that escape your mind and don't come into your mind because of that. And when's the last time you really got interested in a biblical topic and studied it out? And you say, I just need to know the answer to this. All of those kinds of things help us. But sometimes time goes by and we're just not involved in those things and we begin to forget God's word and we forget God's will and his direction in our life. And you know, the cares of this life, we all have to struggle with and we all have to juggle. Sometimes a job can be overwhelming. And sometimes your job is very detailed and specific, and maybe you have to remember a lot of things there. You have to do a lot of studying. Maybe you bring your work home with you. I don't know, but you can get so involved in those kinds of things that the things of the Lord take second place, third or fourth place maybe. And your family, our family is important to all of us. And we don't just drop those things. We go help. We get involved with our families. And that takes time. And that can consume our time also and take it away from the Lord. Maybe you just have a hobby or a passion in your life that you just love. And you like to do that. And boy, you put your whole self into doing that. But in the end, you find out that's robbed me of time with God and taken away, you know, in my mind, things that shouldn't be there. No doubt all of us, as John tells us, struggle with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So that sinful nature of ours leads us away into things, as Peter said, that war against the soul, that take us away from the things of God. And you know what I think? I think sometimes we just lose interest. Isn't that too bad? Even as God's children, we're just tired now. We don't want to study anymore. I don't want to read my Bible anymore. So we kind of become cold because we're disinterested in it and then backslidden because of it. And so we have to be careful because we forget the things of God. Maybe you were offended in somehow by somebody, maybe in church or maybe somebody you know. And because of that offense, you've kind of just walked away from the things of the Lord. And maybe it happens like that. Or maybe a lot of people say they're disappointed in God. You know, I asked for this or I wanted God's help here and it just didn't seem to come. So I guess God doesn't care. He's not looking at my life. I don't know. And we just kind of walk away and lose interest that way too. Or maybe we're just hurt. You know, sometimes it's just easy to do nothing, isn't it? It's just easy to sit and do nothing. I remember this old quote, and I went and found it from A.W. Tozer. He said, muse, M-U-S-E. Muse means to think. And amuse means not to think. That little A on there makes it negative. A fellow says, sometimes I sit on my front porch and think, and other times I just sit on my front porch. He said, the man who sits on his front porch and thinks is musing, but the man who just sits on his front porch has to be amused. We don't go to an amusement park to muse. We go there to not think. And sometimes not thinking is the easiest thing, just not applying ourselves to the things of God. Old J. Oswald Sanders, in a book called Spiritual Leadership, said, a well-ordered life is the outcome of a well-ordered mind. Sometimes our mind just gets tired, but it needs to be ordered around the things of God. So I want us to think about three things in this passage, and you have these in your bulletin to follow if you can or will. And the first one is, be thoughtful about God's word. Verses 1 and 2, again, my son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Then, he could say, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. I want you to notice as we look at each of these things, these three things, that there are positives, negatives, and then results. And so the first two verses I've titled being thoughtful about God's word. First, there's a negative thought, then a positive thought, and then a result if you're thinking right. The same thing will be true in the second two verses where we think about God's testimony. Negative, then positive, and then a result. And in the last one, when we think about God's will, the positive, then the negative, and then a result. So you'll see these in these couplets, in these two verses, one right after another. So notice the negative, first of all, in verse 1, where he says, my son, forget not my law. There's the negative. Don't let that happen. Don't forget God's law. You know, you forget what you once knew, right? He's not saying if you've never known it, but if you have, if it's been part of your life. No wonder Solomon also said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I don't remember as well as I used to. I've forgotten things. We shouldn't let those early things escape us. There's an old saying I know I've quoted before from an old, actually kind of a liberal theologian, William James, who said, we all have equal retentive powers. We only differ in degrees of interest and methods of learning. You can remember what you want to remember if you have interest in it and if you have a good way of doing it. I always remember a student I had in Bible college who grew up in a junkyard, literally. His father ran a junkyard. That's where their house was. And he was just always around cars and car parts and the rest. And he came to Bible college. He rebuilt the engine on my little Toyota one time in my garage. I mean, he could take an engine apart, put it back together, no problem. Grew up that way. He came to class, and I'd give him a quiz in basic doctrine. He couldn't pass it for love nor money. He said, I don't have the brains to do it. I said, don't tell me that. I've watched you take a car apart and put it back together. Degrees of interest and methods of learning. It's where your interest is and whether you have a good way to remember those things. And really, when we kind of forget about God's word and we forget about those doctrines, it's because our interest has left us or we haven't kept up with a good way of doing it, a good schedule, and disciplined ourselves to do it. Don't forget what you once knew. Don't forget the law. Now, that's the negative, and then here's the positive. Keep his commandments in your heart. Keep them. If you had precious things, you would keep them in a safe place. You know, we just talked about a house that burned down. That's when you think, boy, I hope I put my important papers in that safe. You know, I hope I put my precious things in a place where they wouldn't be destroyed, right? Keep God's word in your heart or you'll forget it. Put it there where it can't get away. And not just in your mind, note, but in your heart. Not just that you can give it out in rote memory, but I love this. This is what I believe. This is what I know about God and God's word. Keep that in your heart where it can't get away. That way it will be a doer and not just a hearer. Remember James's words? If any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You look into God's word, you see yourself there, you walk away 2 minutes later, you've forgotten all about it, because it's only in your head, not in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart, where when you read it, you say, I've got to be like that. I've got to do that. This is what God wants for me. Okay, so there was a negative, don't forget it. There is a positive, keep his commandments in your heart. But then there's a result, we see that in verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's an interesting thing. You know, because sometimes we say, well, you know, it doesn't seem to work out quite that way. Why is it that we have these promises in God's word for long life, but a lot of people don't live a long time? And some die early, and some die in tragic ways, and the rest. How is that true? Let me remind you of a couple things. Number one, these kinds of promises are embedded in Israel's history, where they really did have promises from the Lord. If you will live like this, I will put you in the land and I will bless you there in the land. But if you don't live like this, you won't live that way in the land. And so we have to understand that Israel did have unique promises from God for the rain to come in the season, for the crops to be productive and to grow, for the enemies to be defeated and things like that. And so we understand that. The other thing is, understand that a lot of times the promises from God's word are to you and me in the future, in what we sometimes call heaven, but in the kingdom of God. You and I will live with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years and long life, and peace, will he add to us? Those kinds of promises sometimes don't come to fruition in this life, but they will eventually. We were talking a little bit about this in our class last hour, and I said, you know, don't feel sorry for a godly person who dies. They're going on to these promises, and they will live them out. One of my psalms that I like is Psalm 128. You remember in Psalm 128 where he's talking about your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants round about your table. And then he says, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, and thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Does every godly person get to see their grandchildren? But you know what? I recognize that this verse is also saying, when God blesses us out of Zion, when there is peace upon Israel in the kingdom of God, I will see my children's children and their children and their children and their children. Won't it be great? As all the church of Jesus Christ is alive and resurrected in the kingdom of God, that you will see your whole family tree. You say, oh no, please don't let me do that. But no, you see your children's children. A lot of times blessings will come to fruition that way. So we need to understand that. But also understand this, that if you live for God and you let His word, you hide His word in your heart and you live for Him, then whatever days God gives you will be peace and fulfilled. And those days will be full. Those days will be rich. Those days will be great days. And that's what I think the promise is to us in this age of grace. That if you'll live for the Lord as we pray, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and God will let you do that. Some of the most wonderful Christian people I've known died early from one reason or another. So is that verse not true for them? No, I think it's true. As a matter of fact, I think the greatest English preacher that ever lived was Charles Spurgeon. And Spurgeon died at 58. I'm 10 years older than he was when he died. And he died basically of a broken heart from the battles that he had to fight as a believer. But no one was closer to God than that. Is this verse not true for Charles Spurgeon? Of course it was. And he wouldn't have traded one day of his life for anything else. And that's what we want. So when we hide God's word, when we don't forget it, then this kind of blessing comes to our life, regardless of how many days we might have on this earth. So be thoughtful about God's word. Secondly, be thoughtful about God's testimony. Let's read 3 and 4 again. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So when I say be thoughtful about God's testimony, I'm saying here really your testimony for God, you understand. I'm not saying God's testimony is never harmed. His testimony goes out throughout the whole earth. You can't do anything about that. But you can harm your testimony for God. And I think as we look at these verses, that's what the emphasis is here. How is your life when it comes to being a testimony for God? So notice now we have a negative and then we have positive. The negative is let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't be forsaken by mercy and truth. I thought the interesting, I took it wrong at first and I said, I can't forsake mercy and truth. And then I realized, no, it's saying don't let that forsake me. Kind of interesting. But think with me first about the two words mercy and truth. Why those two words? I think because this is all that you are. The word mercy in the Old Testament is also the word that we have sometimes, loving kindness. Remember that word? A beautiful word. Loving kindness. Kesev. Some people call this the covenant love of God for His people. This is the love that God has covenanted with you. When I think of that kind of mercy, that kind of loving kindness, what He means here is, what's in your heart? How is your heart? How is the love that you have in your mind and heart and soul and strength. You love the Lord with all of that. What kind of devotion do you have in your faith? How do you live it out? In the public times and in the private times. Mercy. Don't let this escape you. And then secondly, truth. And I think truth is conviction. This is Scripture. This is thus saith the Lord. This is your doctrine. This is the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Don't let that escape you. These things are important, both what you know and believe and also how it works out in your life and in your heart. And so, don't let them forsake you. You know what? We turn our head for a little bit and mercy and truth are gone. We take our eyes off the goal for a while and we're in the wrong lane. We don't put our hand to the plow and look straight ahead. We look behind and when we look back, we're going off in the wrong direction. We're the ones that get sidetracked by things of this world, and then mercy and truth have forsaken us. They've gone away. Not that they have changed, but we got off the path and left them and they left us. And so don't let that happen to you. But rather, since that's the negative, notice the positive here. And that is, therefore, again, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. In other words, two very decisive actions that you can take. Binding and writing. And if you will do these things, you will bind mercy and truth to you. You will write mercy and truth down, and you will not let them get away and not let them forsake you. Maybe these two thoughts, binding them, is kind of an outward way to look at it. Bind them about thy neck, like you would put on a necklace, like you'd put a chain around you. We saw this in chapter 1, a chain around you also. Not, you know, the Jews went off the wrong way with their what was called phylacteries, where they tied little boxes around their foreheads and on their arms and wrote Bible verses and put them in the boxes, and so they always, you know, bound them, would bind them to them. Of course, if you do that and don't live it, what good is it? And a lot of times, you know, we might have verses up on our refrigerator, we might have things hanging from our mirror in our car, whatever we might do, but that doesn't mean anything if they're not really bound to you. So the binding here has to be your outward life. I live this way because I believe it. I live this way because this is what mercy and truth dictates I should do. Remember the truth here. Remember the armor of God and the belt of truth. What do you do with a belt? You bind it, right? You take a belt, you put around you. We have a buckle on our belt. They would have tied theirs in a knot. But you take truth, Paul said, and you bind it to yourself. Bind it around you so that everything else, all the rest of the armor is held together by truth. So bind them about your neck, he says. And then secondly, write them on the tables of your heart. Did you ever write on the kitchen table? I did once. I learned real quick not to do that. But there's a table of your heart. You know, I guess what you do is, you've seen those tables where they put things on it like an old decoupage or something, then they put acrylic over it or polyurethane, you know, and they cover it up, and you see it, but you can't harm it. Do it like that. I mean, take these precepts of God, take mercy and truth, put them so well onto your heart and your mind, and then cover them so that they can't be destroyed and they can't be affected. Bind them upon and write them upon the table of their heart. Both of these actions, again, you have to do. Binding, you have to put your fingers to it. Writing, you have to scribble it down. Take the action. Take the positive action here and do it. So a negative, don't let these two things forsake you. The positive, bind them and write them. And then the result is that we have in verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I mean, my title here was testimony, right? You need to find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Good understanding, the New King James has it as high esteem. I think that's good. You'll find high esteem with God and with man. The ESV says good success, in the book of Joshua, where you'll have good success. In one commentary, Lang's commentary, where he's got the Hebrew and he's translating the Hebrew, he translates it as good reputation. Good reputation you'll find with God and with man. And that's why I titled this, Be Thoughtful About God's Testimony. So maybe with God is the inward one, and maybe with man is the outward one again. I mean, do you have a good reputation with God? Does he know what's in your heart? Does he know how you think? Well, of course he does. I should say, is he pleased with how you think? Is he pleased with the words of your mouth? Is he pleased with your life? Do you have a good testimony before God? And after all, folks, that's first, isn't it? If you have that, the other will be fine. If you have this good testimony with God, and man will work out just fine. Not that they'll always love you, but it'll be right. And you'll find that when people can trust you, when people know you have convictions, when people know that you're going to live the right way, then they may not seem like they like it, but they like it. And after all, you remember these verses about Jesus when he was growing up? The child in Luke 2, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then at the end of the chapter, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So it's not a bad thing to strive for, to be in favor with God first, and if you are, you'll be in favor with man because they'll respect you and they'll trust you and they know that you're saying what you need to say. Remember, as somebody said, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read, right? How is that lost person ever going to see God if he doesn't see God in you? And he doesn't see these things lived out in you, in a good testimony for God. And so don't let mercy and truth, the very nuts and bolts of your faith, get away from you. Bind them, write them, and you'll have good reputation with God and man. Then thirdly, I say be thoughtful about God's will. Here are the familiar verses that we know. Trust in the Lord then with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Now here I'm going to give the positive first and then the negative. And we actually have two positives if you see them in this. The first one is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and the second one is acknowledge him in all your ways. Two kind of commands that we have. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do you? Do you trust in the Lord? I don't think he's just saying for salvation. I think those of you who know Christ as Savior, of course you trust in him for salvation. But do you trust in him for your life? Or another way to say it might be, do you really believe in God's providence? Do you believe that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose? Can you give thanks always for all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? And even when tough times come, when pain and suffering comes, when heartache comes, do you believe God's in control? Trust in the Lord and do it with all your heart, not just a Sunday morning heart, you know, not just a personal devotion time heart, but with a 24/7 heart. Trust in the Lord. He is doing right. And no temptation has taken you, but that is a trial, but is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tried above what you're able, will with that trial make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And you can bear it. And then secondly, acknowledge him in all your ways. So wherever he does take you and wherever you go, acknowledge him. This is God's will for me. This is what God has brought my way. Now, I understand the difference between faith and sin. I understand chastisement. I understand that sometimes we've brought pain upon ourselves because of our crazy walk and because we have not paid attention and so forth. But do you think God deserts you in those times? God takes care of you in those times too. And many times we're just going through life's trials. This is what life is. Sometimes it's broken bones and bodily aches, and sometimes it's disasters, and sometimes it's broken hearts and all of that. But God knows what it is. So do you say this is God's will? And do you say God gets the glory for my life? Whatever God does and however brings me through it, to God be the glory. Or are you saying, well, Lord, I want a little glory here too. Would you work this out so that I can get a little praise? No, let God have all the glory. And be sure that you understand that your life is His life. What you're living on this earth is what He's living on this earth. The Holy Spirit is in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. It's bought of God. It's not yours. And so acknowledge Him in all your ways. And then the negative follows in between those. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Now, let me say, we have understanding. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs is full of admonitions for you to be wise, to have understanding, to have knowledge. This verse isn't telling you don't try to think things through. You know, don't try to seek out wisdom. Don't go for any advice or anything like that, because you do, and the book of Proverbs is going to tell you use understanding properly. Get good advice. Follow God's word. Think about it. Make it part of your life. So all of that is there. But you know what the key word here is in verse 5? It's the word lean, isn't it? Don't lean on your own understanding. When you think you have things all figured out, and when you think it should go a certain way and God takes you a different way, then lean on God, not on you. When God takes you down a certain path, you have to say, Lord, this is you. This is of you. And I'll not lean on my own understanding, but rather in all these ways, I'll acknowledge you. So that becomes the key here. And sometimes we like to lean against the doorpost and we like to lean on ourselves. And God's saying, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Lean on Him, all right? And then what is the result that we have here? He shall direct thy paths. You know, most translations now have it, make thy path straight, or similar words to that. He shall direct your path or make your path straight. I kind of think to myself, what's the difference between those two? They're kind of saying the same thing when you think about it. Life is crooked. Life isn't just a straight road, is it? There's all kinds of twists and turns and unseen things in life. And so He will direct you down that path. He will make your path straight in the sense that, you know, when you're driving and the sign says, stay between the lines, right? Because even though you may go around the curve, if you get outside these lines, you're in trouble. God, you might say, will keep you within the lines. He'll make your path straight in the sense that He will always take you where He wants you to be. If you'll do these things, trust in Him, don't lean on your own understanding, He'll keep you within the lines. Make your path straight, and He will direct your paths. Matthew Henry had this short statement. You remember the Israelites being led around the desert by a pillar of fire and a cloud. He said, those that faithfully follow the pillar of cloud and fire shall find that though it may lead them about, it leads them to Canaan at last. It may lead you all around the desert, it seems like, and you don't know why you're turning here and going, but the pillar of fire and the cloud that God has put there will bring you to Canaan at last. And so always stay within those lines and follow where he's going. Now, as we come to a close, let me say this. You are remembering now, because I just told you about it. And so you're not forgetful at this moment, but you're about to forget. As soon as we say amen, and you begin to talk about other things, and you go home to your dinner, and you spend the afternoon, and you know what? In about an hour, this may be totally out of your mind. I think that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was taken up to the third heaven. But God said, Paul, you're going to forget this, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh so that you'll never forget that the power is of me, not of you. And so I'm only saying, bind these things and write them down. Did you ever put a string on your finger? You know, the old method of, I'm not going to forget, so I'm going to tie a string around my finger. Oh, what was that for? Oh, yeah. So that you don't forget. Bind these things to your mind here and write them. Maybe Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to bind it to my heart. And every time I'm struggling these things, I'm going to say these words, whatever. You bind it now because you're about to forget. But he says, don't forget these things, and I'll bless you. All right, stand with me now. If you will, as we stand and go to the Lord in prayer, we'll sing a song, we'll ask God to speak to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, now thank you for the words of Proverbs. Thank you for these reminders that are there for us. The familiar words that we have read and memorized and said so many times, and then the new words that maybe we haven't seen before. Help us, Father, not to be a forgetful people, but help us to be a thoughtful people. And help us to be thoughtful about these things. Speak to our hearts in the ways that we need. Father, I'm sure that within a group of people like this, there are heartaches, there are trials. I know, I'm aware of them. There are people that hurt. There are some that can't even be with us today because of pain and sorrows and suffering and things that they have to deal with. So, Father, bless them and help them. But Father, here in this time that we have, as we think on these things, as we sing a song that reminds us, as we come to you with our prayers, oh, Father, be gracious to us and help us to remember and bless us in these ways. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation's open as we sing. I'm at the front if you need.